You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He's the Dean of the Graduate School at the University of South Dakota. He joins us regularly to discuss the latest research in chemistry. And today's topic is metal-free micromotor and cleaning wastewater. Dr. Kudali, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, Kara, it's great to be back after a hiatus, and Happy New Year to you and your family as well, and the listeners.
Thank you. So our topic today, metal-free micromotors.
Sure. So I'll just step back. Micro or nanomotors, nanomachines, molecular machines are quite ubiquitous in nature. So when you look at some of the functions in our body, that involve DNA replication, the synthesis of ATP, et cetera, they require very intricate assembly of biomolecular components, movement, transport, what we call dynamics of molecules, very complex molecules that result in the formation of a product, and usually enzymes are usually involved in it. So the concept of a micromotor or a nanomotor or a nanomachine from a biological perspective is nothing new or unique. Nature has perfected this. We are all able to breathe, live, digest, function, and so that is nothing new. But chemists are trying to understand nature better and learn from the lessons and replicate these at the nano or at the micro level. And so there have been numerous successes and advantages. And I have talked in the past when we discussed the Nobel Prize in chemistry for 2017. So chemists have been able to intricately assemble molecules that form very complex structures based on self-assembly properties. But here what has been happening, Kara, for the past few years is not only are chemists and engineers able to design complex molecules, but they're also able to move them in directionally in a controlled manner.
Okay. And this is the video that I saw, really, it's activated by light?
Absolutely. So one could, one needs some external stimuli. So in the body, for example, enzymes are able to carry out reactions, and sometimes the impetus is, for example, a pH gradient. In areas where there is a low, high pH, and for example, if something has to be done in the stomach where the pH is very low, the pH gradient allows for diffusion of biomolecules. So one needs some external stimulate to activate these micromotors, and light is one such mechanism. It could be a magnetic field, it could be some other an electrical field, but there are a group of scientists trying to harness solar light, and their inspiration comes from nature. So microorganisms, photosynthetic microorganisms, algae, cyanobacteria, they're able to absorb solar light, Kara, and they can convert carbon dioxide and water into chemical energy. So this is how the chlorophyll, the pigments in green plants, are able to fix carbon dioxide and produce food for us. So we are actually being inspired by what is taking place in our body and by photosynthesis. And chemists are now trying to use light and make materials that can be activated by light, and then use that light energy for transportation purposes.
Hmm. And so then how does this work in water?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'll just step back a little bit. So in 14 years ago, a scientist at Penn State University, they actually made an autonomous nanomotor. So like you said, since the 1980s, there has been a lot of development for making molecular machines. but their emphasis was on creating these intricate complex assemblies. But only about 14 years ago were they able to actually make a molecular machine that could actually move a few micrometers. So that was done by using precious metals. So the first report had platinum and gold. And what the scientists used was they used a hydrogen peroxide solution, and they developed a nanotube, if you will, or a nanomotor or a micromotor, and the platinum acted as a catalyst, and it decomposed this hydrogen peroxide into oxygen and water. So the oxygen bubbles or gas that was produced was sufficient enough to propel these micromotor through a few distances. It traveled a few micrometers per second. So since then, there has been a lot of development to make micromotors that can move. And one of the impetus for this is to think about when you have, let's say, a cancer cell, and we want to target some drugs. So these cancer cells are a few micrometers, and one wants to direct these drugs to specifically target these cancer cells. And if one can directionally target this, then the field of nanomedicine can be revolutionized. So the disadvantage was that people had to use these precious metals like platinum and gold. And efforts have been made to overcome this limitation and try to use some simple organic precursors. And so this work that was reported by Czech scientists are actually using a metal-free material called a carbon nitride. And so that's one of the advantages of this this work that was reported recently.
So it's more of a natural product?
So this essentially, so when we think of the lead in our pencils, it's made of carbon, so it's called graphitic, and people have made different forms of carbon, and a single layer of graphite is called graphene. It's one thin sheet of carbon material. So this material, Kara, is a graphitic-like carbon. It's called carbon nitride. All it has, an extra element, is nitrogen. So it has carbon and nitrogen having a ring-like structure, and it can be shaped into a tube form, as was done by the scientists in this study, or it can be like single sheets of carbon nitride. So the advantage of this work, as I said previously, is that it does not require precious metals like platinum and gold, and it just requires common elements, organic in nature, carbon and nitrogen as a heteroatom, and it can be actually prepared by using melamine or urea. And actually, we are pursuing a project making this carbon graphite for some light activated reactions.
And so, these micromotors made of the carbon in a tube, and then it is activated or charged by sunlight, and then it's the bubbles that clean the water?
Yeah, so what happens, Kara, is so this material, carbon nitride, is a photocatalyst. So one can think of it as an artificial redox system, just like the chloroplast in plant can absorb light, visible light. This material, carbon nitride, is able to absorb the visible portion of the sunlight. So once it absorbs the visible portion, it gets activated by light, and it produces what is some reactive oxygen species. It produces some very charged species that are called hydroxyl radicals. So that will react with the water in the solution and produce these oxygen bubbles. So these oxygen bubbles, once they reach a certain critical diameter and concentration, it will propel these carbon nitride graphitic material, and it will cause movement, as you have seen in the video.
And then how do you then take this from the micro stage to a mass pool of water?
Oh, absolutely. So what the scientists in this study have demonstrated is that this sheet of carbon nitride that falls into a nanomotor, it has a lot of empty space, And those, and it has this carbon and particularly these nitrogen atoms, those help in bonding of pollutants like copper and heavy metals. So in this study, they demonstrated that if you take a very dilute solution of hydrogen peroxide and you take 1, 10, 15 parts per million of copper and other heavy metals, then these micromotors can actually swim, they can propel, and they can go to these copper ions and just capture them. So the idea is that if you take a wastewater facility or a wastewater tank and you just disperse these powders of micromotors, they will swim through, and wherever there is copper ions or heavy metal ions, they will capture and encapsulate within these micromotors. And so this way, all one needs is sunlight, and on a sunny day, one can remove pollutants by just dispersing powders of carbon nitride.
Do they die, or do they live when there's sunshine?
That's a great question. So what happens is, after some time, these materials, these have carbon and nitrogen atoms. These nitrogen atoms bind to these copper atoms. So one has to remove these carbon nitride, and then because they have these pollutants adsorbed in them, and put a fresh batch of these photocatalysts. So one will need to replenish this as they are consumed after binding to these heavy metal ions.
All right. Dr. Kudale, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I appreciate it, and we will have you back again. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the wonderful opportunity, Kara.